Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 4, the process of creation, text 20. Shriya Patir Jagya Patihi Praja Patir Dhyam Patir Loka Patir हरा पतिहि पतिर गतिस चांधक वृष्णि शास्ततां प्रसीदतां मे भगवान सतां पतिहि श्रिया पतिर जग पति प्रजापति धियां पतिर लोक पतिर धरापति पतिर गतिश्चांधक वृष्णि सततां प्रसीदतां मे भगवान् सतां पतिः Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. May Lord Sri Krishna, who is the worshipable Lord of all devotees, the protector and glory of all the kings like Andhaka and Vrishni of the Jodhu dynasty, the husband of all goddesses of fortune, the director of all sacrifices, and therefore the leader of all living entities, the controller of all intelligence, the proprietor of all planets, spiritual and material, and the supreme incarnation of the earth, and the supreme incarnation on the earth, the supreme all in all, be merciful upon me. Please repeat after me. May Lord Sri Krishna, who is the worshipable Lord of all devotees, the protector and glory of all the kings, like Andhaka and Vrishni of the Jadu dynasty, the husband of all goddesses of fortune, the director of all sacrifices, and therefore the leader of all living entities, the controller of all intelligence, the proprietor of all planets, spiritual and material, and the supreme incarnation on the earth, the supreme all in all, be merciful upon me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Maybe somebody can read the purport. Got a headache. Just not together. Long purpose.
Of the fortune are manifestations of the after they did not even allow anyone to come in, not even to bow down after the day. You know, they even heard the prayers of the Devadatti after the international Gandhi, because Sanyasi is forbidden to hear songs from my tradition. Yet even in the rigid position of a Sanyasi, he recommended the mode of worship preferred by devotees of Vrindavan and the topmost loving service possible to be rendered to the Lord. And Srimati Radharani is the principal head of all such courtesy of fortune, and therefore she is the special counterpart of the Lord, his members of Madhusha. In the Vedic rituals, there are recommendations for performing different types of sacrifice in order to achieve the greatest benefit in life. Such benedictions, as a result of performing great sacrifices, are after all favors given by the goddess of fortune and the Lord. Being the husband or lover of the goddess of fortune is actually the Lord of all sacrifices also. He is the final enjoyer of all kinds of yajna. Therefore, Yajnapati is another name of Lord Vishnu. It is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita that everything be done for Yajnapati, Yajnapati, for otherwise, one fact will be the cause of conditioning by the Lord of the Amisha. Those who are not free from all misconceptions, Vyanikam, perform sacrifices to please the mind of themselves. But the devotees of the Lord know very well that Lord Shri Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of all performances of sacrifice. Therefore, they perform Sankirtan Yajna, Shravana Krishna Krishna, which is especially recommended in the days of Kali. In Kali Yuga, performance of unattached sacrifice is not feasible due to insufficient arrangements and inexpert priesthood. Therefore, we have information from the Bhagavad Gita 3, 10, and 11. That Lord Brahma, after giving rebirth to the conditioned souls within the universe, instructed them to perform sacrifices and to lead a prosperous life. With such sacrificial offices, the conditioned souls will never be in difficulty to keep the body and soul together. Ultimately, they can purify their existence. They will find natural promotion in spiritual existence, the real identity of the living being. A conditioned soul should never give up the practice of sacrifice, charity, and austerity in any circumstance. The aim of all such sacrifices is to please the Yajnapati of Nanda Raja. Therefore, the Lord is also Prajnapati. According to the Katha Upanishad, the one Lord is the leader of the innumerable living entities. The living entities are maintained by the Lord. Eko Bhavana Amyo, Siddhanti Kama. The Lord is therefore called the supreme Bhutanadi, or maintainer of all living entities. Living beings are proportionately endowed with intelligence in terms of their previous activities. All living beings are not equally endowed with the same qualities of intelligence, because behind them such development of intelligence is the control of the Lord, as declared in Bhagavad Gita chapter 15. As paramount and principle, the Lord is living in everyone's heart, and from him only does one's power of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness flow. And as the Jesus, Abhavan, and Shah. One person can sharply remember past activities by the grace of the Lord, while others cannot. One is highly intelligent by the grace of the Lord, and one is a fool by the same control. Therefore, the Lord is Jnanapati, or the Lord of intelligence. The conditioned soul strives to become lords of the material world. Everyone is trying to lord it over the material nature by applying his highest degree of intelligence. This misuse of intelligence by the conditioned soul is called madness. One's full intelligence should be applied to get free from the material practice. But the conditioned soul uses madness only engages its full energy and intelligence in sense gratification, and to achieve this end of life is woefully in the soul fortune of dream. The result is that instead of attaining an unconditioned life of full freedom, the man's conditioned soul is entangled again and again in different types of bondage and material activities. Everything we see in material manifestation is but the creation of the Lord. Therefore, he is the real proprietor of everything in the universe. The conditioned soul can enjoy a fragment of this material creation under the control of the Lord, but not self-sufficiently. That is the instruction of the Upanishad. One should be satisfied with things awarded by the Lord of the universe. It is out of madness only that one tries to encroach upon another's share of material possessions. The Lord of the universe, out of his causeless mercy upon the conditioned soul, descends by going in the Atma Maya to re-establish the external relation of the conditioned soul with him. He instructs all to surrender unto him instead of hoping to be enjoyed for a certain limit under his control. Then he serves the sense, he proves how much greater is his ability to enjoy and his ability to follow the enjoyment, by, for instance, marrying 16,000 wives at once. The conditioned soul is very proud of becoming the husband of even one wife, but the Lord offers it. The intelligent man can know who is the real husband. Actually, the Lord is the husband of all women in the creation. But a conditioned soul under the control of the Lord feels proud to be the husband of one true wife. All these qualifications that the different types of sati mentioned in this verse are meant for Lord Sri Krishna. And Sridhar Goswami has therefore especially mentioned sati and jati of the Yadu dynasty. The members of the Yadu dynasty know that Lord Sri Krishna is everything, and all of them intended to return to Lord Krishna after his finished construction in the past 10 years. The Yadu dynasty was annihilated by the word of the Lord, which was tremendous, and he was just following the Lord. Annihilation of the Yadu dynasty was the material show created by the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, the Lord and the members of the Yadu dynasty are all human associates. The Lord is therefore the guide of all devotees and ancestors. Who believes that some hundreds of years that is not in the human.
Mukam karoti bachalam pungum langhayati girim yat kripatamahum bande shri guru nirantara. It's a very long purport Srila Prabhupada wrote on this verse. From that we can understand that how important this verse is. In the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada is pointing out that Krishna is the husband of Lakshmi Devi. There are innumerable Lakshmis, and the expansions of Vaikuntha Lakshmis in this world are the controllers of all the wealth of this world. And there's just as there's one Brahma in this universe, or one Shiva, similarly there's one Lakshmi in this universe, taking care of a specific department. And what department does she take care of? Wealth. That means she is in charge of wealth. So whenever somebody wants wealth in a material nature, he can please Lakshmi Devi, and as a result of that he can get a lot of wealth. Now this one such Lakshmi is controlling the wealth of one universe. And this Lakshmi is an expansion of Vaikuntha Lakshmi. Just as Shiva, Sambhu, is an expansion of Sadashiv, similarly Lakshmi is an expansion of Mahalakshmi. This Lakshmi in the material nature is a demigoddess. She is a she can be considered to be a demigoddess. Because the demigods are in charge of different departments of this material nature. And she is in charge of the wealth department. So we can well imagine how opulent Lakshmi Devi is. And in Vrindavan, thousands and millions of such Lakshmis are actually worshipping Krishna's lotus feet, serving Krishna's lotus feet with great awe and reverence. Lakshmi Shatar Sahasra Sambhrama Sebhamana. The millions of Lakshmis. Very sambhrama shebham. Sambhram means respect or reverence. Shebhamana are worshipping, rendering service. Lakshmi shahasra sato sambhrama shebhamana. So in this way, Krishna, we can well imagine how opulent Krishna is. One Lakshmi actually can give any amount of wealth. So the person who is giving that kind of wealth, we can well imagine how much wealth she herself has. And thousands of such Lakshmis are actually serving Krishna in Vrindavan. This is from Brahma Samhita. Also, as we recited the last verse, that also describes Lakshmi Devi in Vrindavan. It says, Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpataruva. Shriya means Lakshmi. Kanta are the gopis. The gopis in Vrindavan are actually Lakshmis. Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha. And they all are serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Parama Purusha Kalpataruva. So in this way, Krishna is the supreme opulent person. And it is by Krishna's mercy that one can actually become elevated to that spiritual platform. So in this verse, it has been Krishna has been glorified that he is the pati of everything practically. Pati means the Lord, Master, Husband. Different connotations this word has. Pati may mean Lord, pati may mean Master, pati may mean proprietor, pati may mean leader, and generally pati means husband. Pati is husband and patni is wife. Pati, patni, husband and wife. So, Krishna is the pati. We can see how many Shriya pati. Krishna is the husband of the goddesses of fortune. Jagapati, Krishna is the enjoyer of sacrifice. Prajapati, Krishna is the leader of mankind or leader of all created beings. Dhyapati, Krishna is the lord of intelligence. Lokapati, Krishna is the proprietor of all planets. Then, Dharapati. Dhara means earth. Dhara or Dharitri. Vasundhara. Earth has many names in Sanskrit. Vasuti Dashanu Shikhare Dharani Tabalagna. It's a description of Varahadev. The earth was lying on his task. When the earth fell onto the lower planetary system, Krishna as Varaha incarnation, as a boar, picked up the earth from the lower planetary system. And at that time, it has been described that Vasuti Dashanu Shikhare Dharani Tabalagna. The earth was lying on the task of Varahadev. So Dharani or Dhara is a name of earth planet. So Dharapati means the leader of the earth planet. The supreme proprietor of the earth planet. Then Patir Gati, he is the lord of everything and he is the destination. He is the ultimate destination. He is the Lord and the ultimate destination of Andhaka, Vrishni, Shattatam. These are the names of the Jadu dynasty. Andhaka was one of the names, one of the kings of Jadus. Vrishni was the first king of the Jadu dynasty. In this way, in India, the royal families were named after the original personality or the famous ones in the family. For example, here we can see Andhaka, Vrishni. They are actually Jadu dynasty, but these are some very famous kings of the Jadu dynasty. So, and Shattatang means the Jadus. They are situated in Suddha Sattva, in pure goodness. Therefore, they are known as Shattatam. Shattata. Shattata. Sattva means mode of goodness. And from the word sattva, this word sattata has been derived. like from the word sattva guna, mode of goodness, sattvic, the word sattvic has been derived. So these are all the derivatives of the word sattva, which means the mode of goodness. Sattva, sattvic, vishuddha, sattva, sattvatam, etc. So he is the jadus are situated in the mode of goodness, pure goodness, not ordinary material mode of goodness, spiritual mode of goodness. Sattvatam pati, prasidatam me bhagavan satam pati. My Lord, be merciful. My Lord, you are the Lord of the devotees. You are the worshipable Lord of all devotees. So please be merciful unto me. So this is how he is praying. So Prabhupada is saying here about Sukadeva Goswami that he partially displayed the activities of his pleasure potency in his Rasa Leela just to attract the conditioned souls who are all after the phantasmagoria pleasure potency in degraded sex enjoyment. Prabhupada, then he's saying that Krishna's activities with the gopis or Krishna's activities with the Lakshmis, the queens of Dwarka, are not mundane activities. Actually, they all are spiritual activities. And in the mundane platform, those activities have become reflected. In the material platform, we are simply seeing the reflection of those activities. And that reflection is sex life. But actually in the spiritual platform, there is no sex. It is only pure love between Krishna and his devotees. So, Prabhupada is pointing out that Sukadeva Goswami was a celibate right from his birth. He was so pure that just after his birth he left home. First of all, he didn't want to come out of his mother's womb. He stayed in his mother's womb for 16 years. And then as soon as he came out of his mother's womb, he simply walked away from his house. And when he was walking away, Vasudev, his father, became very disappointed that he felt my son is leaving home without even going through the purificatory process of initiation or brahmanam. It is called anyway, it's some form of initiation ceremony. The shanskar, the one kind of shanskar, upanayan shanskar. Yeah, it's called upanayan shanskar. So through that, one actually is taken to the spiritual master, or one approaches the spiritual master for spiritual knowledge. Actually, spiritual knowledge is beyond our sense perception. Therefore, with our senses or with our mind or with our intelligence, we cannot actually receive this transcendental knowledge, the spiritual knowledge. The spiritual knowledge must be received through a spiritual process. And that process actually begins with initiation. So that is a very important samskar or purificatory activity for a living entity. So Vasudev was very disappointed that his son was leaving home even without going through this purificatory process. So he was walking, when Sukadeva Goswami was walking away, Vasudev followed him, calling out his name. But Sukadeva Goswami was completely unperturbed. Vasudev was crying out, my son, please come back, don't go away.
But Shukdev Goswami did not pay any heed to his father's calling. He just kept on walking away, completely unconcerned. And Vasudev followed him. So while Shukdev Goswami was walking away, he came to a lake, and the celestial damsels were taking their bath. And when they saw, at that time Shukdev Goswami was only 16 years old and he was not wearing anything. But when he walked away, when he was walking away, the girls did not feel any shame or embarrassment. But when Vasudev came, they actually immediately came out of the water and put on their clothes, covered themselves up. So Vasudev asked them, I'm an old man, but you got embarrassed when I came, whereas when my son, who was 16 years old, who is 16 years old and who was naked, is a fully grown young man, you didn't feel any shame. Then the girls actually told that when Sukadeva Goswami passed by, they did not feel any agitation of mind, whereas they did when Vasudev came. That's why they acted in such a way. So from that we can understand the position, elevated position of Sukadeva Goswami. He was situated in Brahma Bhuta platform. He was situated on a platform beyond duality. Therefore, the girls did not feel any disturbance in mind. And all his life Sukadeva Goswami was a very, very devout, celibate brahmachari. Now, why such a person like Sukadeva Goswami, who is a naishtiki brahmachari, who is a devout celibate all his life, would describe Radha Krishna's pastimes if it was a mundane relationship between a man and a woman? So this is the argument that Prabhupada has presented here, that if Radha Krishna's love affairs were like mundane loving exchange between a man and a woman, then why would a brahmachari like Sukadeva Goswami describe that in such great length? We have seen, like, even devotees, those who are at a very, very neophyte stage of brahmachari life, they do not want to even look at a man and a woman intimately dealing with each other. So why Sukadeva Goswami, who is such an advanced devotee, is describing Radha Krishna's pastimes? So from that, this is a clear proof that Radha Krishna's pastimes has nothing to do with material nature. On the other hand, the material relationship between a man and a woman is a perverted reflection of Radha Krishna's spiritual relationship. And just as in a reflection, the highest thing appears to be the lowest, because the reflection is perverted, reflection is upside down. The top of the tree in a reflection appears to be the bottom, or is the lowest. Similarly, this highest loving exchange between Krishna and his devotees, in the material nature, the reflection is considered to be the lowest. the relationship between Krishna and his devotees, when that relationship is imitated by a man, by mundane living entities, that is the most degraded activity. That's the most abominable activity. So, the devotees are aware of that fact. That's why we are seeing that devotees are abstaining from any such relationship, but they are actually worshipping Radha and Krishna. The supreme. They are trying to transcend the platform of duality of man and woman, and they are trying to overcome these basic urges of nature, but at the same time they are worshipping the supreme. They are worshipping a male and a female. It's kind of paradoxical, but actually it is because they are worshipping the supreme male and the supreme female. Supreme male is Krishna and the supreme female is Radharani. And by developing their love for Krishna and Srimati Radharani, they can very easily overcome their gross material desires. This material nature is actually a prison house of sex desire. Like everyone, just as the criminals in a prison is tied up with a chain. Similarly, living entities in this material nature are tied up with sex desire. That's why in Sanskrit another name for this material nature is Maithunagaro. Maithun means sex life and agaro means prison house. It's the prison house of sex desire. But if one wants to get out of this material nature, he must become free from these gross physical desires. Now, how does one become free? By developing loving relationship with Krishna. Krishna is the supreme loving object. Actually, we all love Krishna. In everyone's heart, there is a very strong and spontaneous propensity to love Krishna. But when one forgets Krishna, then he doesn't realize where he'll have to impose his love. Actually, the love is meant for Krishna, but now Krishna is not there. So where should he offer the love? So in the material nature, living entities are searching around everywhere to impose his love onto something. But no matter wherever he imposes his love, no matter wherever he offers his love, he never becomes satisfied. And in the material nature, the ultimate of such loving quest is the love for opposite sex. A man is trying to love a woman, and a woman is trying to love a man. But that love never becomes successful. No love in this material nature is successful. Every love in this material nature ends in a tragedy. Everyone, although the authors and writers and poets have romanticized the love to a great extent and make it appear like the perfect love. There's so many love stories. There's no dearth of love stories, but they're only stories. In reality, there's no love. There's only hatred and frustration. I wonder what would have happened if Romeo and Juliet lived up to 75 years. Probably they would have been fighting with each other like cats and dogs. And that's what exactly happens. The biggest romance ends in worst fight. And this is the material nature. The more one expects the greater is the degree of his disappointment. Just like with greater speed you bang against something, what do you get? You get hurt. So more you try to get something in this material nature, and the more is the speed or intensity with which you desire it, the greater will be the pain. Because you are actually, in the material nature, you are banging your head against something. The reflection is there, but the reality is not in the reflection. There's a mirror, and in the mirror you are seeing the reflection. And you want that. So as soon as you see that, you want it, and you charge towards the mirror. But can you get that stuff out of the mirror? What do you get? You simply get a collision, a big thud, and all you get is bashed up head. Therefore, an intelligent man would not aspire to get anything in the material nature. He knows that in this material nature everything will end. Everything is illusory. Everything is like a mirage. If you are very thirsty and you are seeing a mirage in the middle of a desert, will you ever be able to quench your thirst running after a mirage? Never. On the other hand, the more you run after the mirage, the more the mirage will run away from you. And that's what the material nature is. Poor man wants to be a rich man, and a rich man wants to be the king. So that is, they're always running after. No one is satisfied with his present state of existence. When you have 100 rands in your pocket, you want 1,000. When you have 1,000, then you want millions. And this is how it keeps on increasing. And you're never satisfied. Because the craving is illusory. But actually, although we are running after the illusory object, but actually, the craving is there, and the craving is real. And this craving, the heart's spontaneous craving to become united with Krishna, is the real desire that a living entity has. And this desire to become united with Krishna is called love. In Sanskrit, it is called prema. Synonymous, the Sanskrit word for love is prem. And there is another word which is used called kam. Kam, in English, it can be translated as lust. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tareboli Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Prem. Desire to gratify our senses is lust. But the desire to satisfy Krishna's senses is called love. So in this material nature, what goes on in the name of love is nothing but love, lust. In the material nature, there is no love. It's only lust. One is trying to exploit other for his sense gratification. That is the law of material nature. But this lust is actually a perverted reflection of love. And love is for Krishna. Love is for Krishna. And lust is for everybody. One body is craving for another body. That is lust. So when one realizes that, it is not a crime to love. Actually, love is the most divine emotion. But we must know where this love should be imposed. This love should be imposed onto Krishna. Krishna is the only object of love. And when we develop our love for Krishna, then automatically we become free from lust. Then when we see different objects in the material nature that we have been craving at one time, we simply look at them in relation to Krishna. That, oh, there is such a beautiful flower. So So let me offer it to Krishna. There's such a beautiful fruit. Let me offer it to Krishna. Similarly, wherever we see something beautiful, we simply want to offer it to Krishna. And then Prabhupada is pointing out that ultimately Krishna is the supreme husband. He is the husband. Every woman is actually Krishna's wife. Everyone is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. And this is the mood of a devotee. Devotee doesn't reject anything. Devotee accepts everything. But he offers everything to Krishna. Just as he offers a beautiful flower, delicious fruit, some delicious foodstuff to Krishna. Similarly, he also offers the living entities to Krishna. And that is the duty, that is the business of a spiritual master. He attracts the living entities and offers them to Krishna. And and that is the perfection of life of a human being. That is the perfection of our existence. To be able to offer everything to Krishna. There is nothing that he holds for himself. A man, a devotee, never holds anything for himself. He accepts on behalf of Krishna and then he offers them to Krishna. And this is what has been expressed here. Prasida, my Lord, you are the Lord of everything. So you be merciful unto us. You be compassionate, you be benevolent towards me. And how can we invoke his mercy? By offering everything to him, recognizing that everything belongs to him. Ishavasyam idam sarvam, everything belongs to Krishna. So when we recognize that everything belongs to Krishna and everything must be offered to Krishna, and then the Lord automatically becomes pleased. Just like a father, when he sees that his little son offers him, no matter how insignificant that offering may be, the father becomes very, very pleased. Although the son actually got everything from the father. The son doesn't have, little child doesn't have anything of his own. The father gave him a candy bar. And he gives the candy bar back to the father. Father, you take it. Then how does the father feel? Father feels tremendous surge of emotion in his heart that, oh, my little child is so nice. He's just offering it. This little, whatever he considers to be precious to him, he offers it to me. Whatever he likes himself, he offers it to me. Similarly, Krishna becomes pleased with us when we offer something to him. Krishna, nothing is mine. Everything is yours. Please accept it. Even I am not mine. I am yours. So please accept me, Krishna. So that is the mood of a devotee. And that is called Sharanagati, surrender. Manusho deho geho jo kichu mor orpilu tua pade nanda kishor. Manusho, my mind, deho, my body, geho, my home, jo kichu mor, whatever I have, orpilu tua pade nanda kishor, I am offering them all to you, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Shampade bipade jibane morone dai mamu gela tua o pado varone. Whether I am in happiness or in distress, whether I am in wealth or poverty, whether I am alive or dead, now that I have offered myself, my everything to you, Krishna, my responsibility has been fulfilled. I do not have any more responsibility. Now everything has been offered to you, and now you are responsible for everything. I am not responsible for myself anymore. You are responsible for me. And that's why devotees are so relaxed. I remember when I, for the first time in my life, I realized what peace was when I decided to join ISKCON. When I decided to offer myself to Srila Prabhupada after reading his book, I just made up my mind, okay, I will surrender. And I had a tremendous sense of peace inside, that from now on I don't have to worry about anything. No more struggle. I do not have to become anything. I do not have to struggle to do anything. Now everything is Krishna. He will take care of me. I am offering myself to Him and He will take care of me. I do not have to worry about anything. So in this way, just by surrendering ourselves to Krishna, we can become free from all anxiety. That's why in the spiritual sky there is no anxiety, because no one is worrying about himself. And they know, everyone knows that Krishna is the supreme controller, and He will take care of everyone. He will take care of everything.